that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
that old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more.
When
it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Get all these buttons pushed. And we welcome you this Saturday morning. What's today, Kyle? About the 15th or so? Is it that late in the year, the month?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Saturday the 15th of November. We welcome you, Remnant. And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Got a guest with us, Lance, this morning. Good morning, Lance. Let me hit your button, Lance. Sorry, try that.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right.
Yeah, we tell him he's going to be able to talk, and then we don't unmute him.
That's right. Well, there are wires and headsets all over the studio this morning. So, but good morning, and good morning, John.
Morning.
See, you got to have the boss's buttons pushed. You just have that set and ready to go. So, but good morning, and again, good morning to you, the Remnant. It's a cold and snowy. Hey, it's that time of the year. You know, we have had the most beautiful fall here since I've been here. In we got out here in 2001. And just mild temperatures, beautiful fall, moisture, record hay season. It has just by far and large been the most beautiful and a fantastic summer. You know, when God piles all these blessings up on one side, you really can't complain when it's 12 degrees outside and snowing, and you know you're sweeping the windshield off headwind this morning. You know, when that snow blows back in your face, it's a little brisk, but
it is really nice having all that hay too, because you know we've been feeding some this week, and used to be in the past it's like, man, I hate to feed too much too early, you know, because what's you know February and March going to be like, you know. But this year it's nice to not have that pressure of we've only got so many bales, you know.
Right And so that's
and good. To be able to share with those that are less fortunate.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Like we did this week.
And that's,
praise the Lord.
Right. And that's what God's blessings are all about, you know. When he blesses us, whether it's with health or with his grace and mercy, with understanding from his word. It's not that we're to crawl in our hole and just hold on to it and say, I got it. It's mine, you know. And it's his blessings are meant to be shared. They really are. Well, we'll got some few current events we thought we'd share this morning. And But before we get too far, we better open up with prayer. And Lance, we'll ask you to open up with prayer. Sure. That's all right.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for this Saturday morning and this opportunity we have to gather together here and out there with the saints. We pray that your Holy Spirit be present this morning, guide and direct our thoughts and our words. They all might be edifying to the saints out there, and we're just grateful for the opportunity. And I just pray, Lord, that it will be a blessed time. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. And we get Lance about every third week. He's working out in the oil fields and makes it back. And he didn't come back here just to be on the radio. His family's real close nearby, so that's a good thing. But yeah, weather-wise, this last week or two, starting really last week, when I know Jason and the guys talked about it last week as well, that old Typhoon Nyru or something from the other side of the world blew some real cold and heavy and stiff winds into the Aleutian Islands in Alaska, and that was about a week ago yesterday, and that just kind of continued on and brought winter, at least winter weather, a little early.
Tomas?
Oh, you know, what's interesting was I talked to Howard, just texting, and he sent me a picture of his truck going over Attigan Pass, which is on the way over to Prudhoe Bay, up way up in the mountains, and 38 degrees, and we were like 20 below that day. And I'm like, huh, what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, I spoke with Christian brother out in South Carolina. Drew called me yesterday and made mention about how cold it was in South Carolina. And I know some of the mountains there in the Carolinas and on up have had some colder weather and unseasonably colder weather and snow. And then the upper Midwest, UP and Michigan and places are really getting hammered. I saw Wisconsin 15 inches in 12 hours or something this past week.
Well, we had...
That's the way it was. That was the way it was when I used to live back there. You used to go up snowmobiling in the UP, Michigan, and if you went off the trail, you were literally up to your chest, sometimes your neck, in snow. I mean, it was a dangerous situation, and you could lose a snowmobile in the snow. That's how much snow they used to get. But it's been years, probably 20 years, since they had that kind of snow.
I hope it's at least 21 more. Anyway, I think Wednesday morning on my way out here, you know, when I leave the house, I check the temperature, and it was like 24 below, something like that. And Thursday morning, it was like 34 above. So, I mean, we're talking about almost a 60-degree change in 24. And it felt like, it almost felt like spring out, I mean, compared to those couple days before that. Because, you know, you're talking, you know, when you're down in the 20s below, it even though the wind wasn't blowing, you know, it's 5 minutes out there getting your car ready or whatever you're doing, loading up. It's like, I need to get back inside.
It's enough. It's enough. It is. It is. But still, it's a blessing. You know, you can still thank the Lord for 20 below because, you know, a few days of that kills the bark beetles and it sure kills all the flies that are hanging around. And
sometimes it kills your batteries.
Sometimes it does. but, you know, you can thank the Lord that they have batteries in the store.
Thank the Lord for wood stoves and pellet stoves and providing the materials that go in them.
Amen. Amen. So... Well, and Remnant will have the phone line open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. One little bit of current event that caught my eye this week, I thought I'd mention it, is this continuing civil unrest in Ferguson, Missouri. I think we've talked about it before, and most people have. We see that the grand jury has... you know, they're meeting as to whether to indict the police officer for defending himself and shooting this 240-pound black teenager that was unarmed, but had already hit the police officer twice in the face, had already reached into the police officer's car to try to steal his gun from him, had already stolen a box of cigars from a store within the last hour or two, and you know that in itself. I don't know if it was maybe on Gideon's Armory or on one of the programs, but it was brought out that one of the reasons that these criminals go in and steal these cigars is they'll rework the cigars so they can smoke pot. You know, maybe with the little tips or with the wrappers or whatever it is. And I don't know about it. I just remember one of the programs they talked about it. Because that's not the circles I hang out in, just so you know. But, you know, so it's not like he was on his way home from choir practice, you know. He didn't get shot, as my dad used to say, for singing too loud in the choir. But the whole, you know, and that was back in August. Of course, they rioted and everything going on, and they're making plans now. You know, the thing now is Clayton is the next little city. Like right next door to Ferguson. And so what they're planning on is this civil unrest.
Rehearsal.
They yeah.
Rehearsals going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. They're planning on closing.
So they're going to shut down highways and
shut
down the city.
That's what they're wanting to do. Close down the city of Clayton.
And what's amazing is the authorities are telling the law-abiding people to stay in their homes, make sure you have food and water. And
did you see that? They passed a flyer out.
They're not even saying a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not saying a thing against the ones that are perpetrating the
yeah.
offenses.
Right. It's like it's a hurricane. They're treating it like it's a natural disaster. It's coming.
Yeah.
Like a hurricane. You know, when hurricanes come, you live down south, you live back east, you hear it on the radio. Make sure you've got plenty of bottled water and, you know, flashlight batteries, and make sure you have all the medications you need if you're on medications, and plenty of baby diapers if you have babies. And, you know, you hear that. The news tells you that. And and especially for hurricanes coming. And boy, when it's coming, you know, Home Depot sells out of plywood and all that stuff. And that's what's happening there. There were flyers that the city was sending out. And that said, you know, basically plan on, you know, have your car fueled up. I don't know if one of them said leave if you can, but, you know, have plans on picking up your children at school if there's problems and all these things. Because the cities are, they're planning on it. It is in their face. And, you know, anything that they can't speak against it, because you speak against it and you're a racist. Well, let me tell you, if it were a bunch of white people out there that were,
exactly.
Not that white people get upset about anything, because they're just drinking their coffee and, you know, wondering how Peyton Manning's going to do Sunday in the ball game. But if the white people were out there marching,
they wouldn't have
planning
to send,
on,
they wouldn't have to send flyers out if it was.
Well, that's true.
Because,
they would,
you know, they did their studies. They know what people. They know how certain creatures react. You know, and I mean, they know all this. So I mean, it's. Just wake up. I mean, they know it. You should know. And we do know it. We know we're not to walk in the middle of the night. I mean, we really do. We know what I mean, sometimes we make mistakes. We know what exits not to take if you're traveling through Kansas City or St. Louis or even Denver or Portland. I mean, we know that stuff because we've seen, you know?
Right.
And it's the same thing with this. They're handing out flyers and because they know they'll riot when they win a World Series in St. Louis.
Or if they lose a World Series.
Or if they lose. I mean,
right.
That's just what they do.
And it just gets me because it's just socially acceptable today. You know? It is. It's because it's their culture. No, it's lawlessness is what it is. It's absolute lawlessness. And everybody sits back and just accepts it.
Yeah.
John?
You look at the stand that they did take against the white people in Nevada with that ranch standoff. They brought in federal agents. They brought in high-powered weapons. I mean, what's the difference here? They're not bringing in the feds to try to curtail this thing. In fact, the idiot Eric Holder is the one that probably got them all riled up in the first place.
Probably.
That's the difference. I read comments from one of the people who live there, I guess, and they said, well, if you're smart, you'll batten down the hatches, you'll pack up all your belongings that are worth anything, and you'll go on that well-needed vacation and make sure your insurance is paid up, and then when you come back, you'll collect the insurance check and you'll get out for good.
Yeah, we've got a brother that lives not too far away, him and his family, and we spoke with him this week, and that's not real far off from what he was planning. He said he had a Saturday, because the rumor mill, of course, is roaring, and the thought was that it might be last night or today that they would release the grand jury findings. You know, they said middle November. Well, that's today. And he had said, yeah, they were planning an early morning trip somewhere else, you know, just kind of get out of town for the day or the weekend and see how things go. And this is America. This, you know, having to leave your home that you either, you know, pay the bank or pay rent on, either way, but your home, where it used to be a man's home was his what?
Castle.
Castle. You used to didn't have to. Now, you know, if a hurricane's coming, that's one thing.
Yeah, and then, you know, man, if you're on the East Coast, down in Florida, whatever, and a hurricane's coming, you're boarding up your windows. You wouldn't think you'd have to board up your windows because of what's coming in
because,
the middle of
because
Louis.
Because the police officers and the federal government won't keep the people that live 5-10 miles away from rioting and burning houses and burning buildings and shooting each other and maybe shooting you. It's lawlessness. It's not civil disobedience. It's not a civil protest. It's lawlessness. It's like sin is, you know, homosexuality is not an alternative lifestyle. It's sin. And we just need to call it what it is. You know, divorce, God hates it. Don't take lightly what God hates.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Even if you own your house outright, you're paying taxes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you don't pay your taxes, see how long you keep it.
But you might need to leave because these people over here, it's their culture to have civil disobedience and come throw rocks through your window or, you know, come in and rape your wife and children and kill you and burn your house down. Because the law was upheld with one of them.
Yeah. Well, let's pray for our people out there.
Sure,
Heavenly
John.
Father, we do have people in Missouri, and we have our brother Vance and his family there, Lord. And we just pray a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around them that no evil will penetrate, Lord. And even if everything all around them is destroyed, Lord, we just ask for protection upon those who seek your covering, Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus and will not bow their knee to Baal. In Jesus' name that we pray these things, and we thank you, Lord, ahead of time for answering them. Amen.
Amen.
Pray, Lord, that you'll thwart their plans for civil unrest and any rioting or any plans for destruction, and that they'll hear a rumor or something that will completely disrupt their plans and that they'll come to nothing. And that no harm will befall anyone there, Lord.
Jesus. Let their destruction come upon them.
Amen. Amen.
Got a praise report.
All right.
Our brother Guy had a little bit of an issue there with the radiator freezing up, and apparently the truck had overheated on him several months back. And if you put just water in there and you go to Colorado, you may have a problem. But praise the Lord, the problem was minimal. And I'll tell you what, it's a 1 in 1,000 chance that it don't crack the block, the heads, and the intake manifold. And that was the 1 in 1,000 chance. And if you were with us on Wednesday night prayer meeting, he called in and asked for that, and God answered that prayer. So I thank the Lord as well.
Awesome.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913 if you want to call in.
Did you see their this week's first Muslim prayer service held in the Washington National Cathedral? And from what I can tell, it looks like they removed the pews from the church and let them bring in their prayer rugs, and they're all prostrated down praying to Allah.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Oh, grand diversity. Hallelujah. You know, you mentioned that. I want to about taking the pews out.
They're trying to mix Christianity and Islam. It's called Chrislam.
Yeah.
And there's several... Rick Warren is one of the big leaders in that thing. Wrote a book about it and promoting it heavily. And stupid sheep are falling right
yeah.
into it.
Yeah, putting a coexist bumper sticker on their car. There's no yeah. way you can coexist and keep your stand. I mean, I don't know why certain people. You know, I understand why the real hardcore left wing liberals promote that stuff, but I don't understand how anybody with common sense, and that's just it, they don't have common sense, or godly sense, I should say, anymore, because you can't coexist. I mean, you got the Word of God that says that anybody that says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God is an Antichrist, and you're going to coexist with them and try, it won't work.
Right.
I mean, it's like hot water and cold, or salt and pepper. I mean, they can't be in the same thing. It won't work. You know,
John, you mentioned they took the pews out. Let me read you a short paragraph about another time when you could say pews were taken out of churches. Okay, and this is from the book. Well, it is from the all but the pews were taken from the La Porte Church of Christ when the government came in the 80s and shut it down. As our pastor said, for less than 48 hours. And when he sat...
The only reason they didn't take them is because they were handmade by people in the church and covered with burlap, and they're still that way to this day.
And you know, the pastor put it right to the sheriff when he sat down, and the sheriff had said, you know, I love my men. I don't want to see any harm come to them. And Peter said, I love my men, and I don't want to see any harm come to them, but it comes down to may the best
God win.
God win.
Amen.
But there was another time in the book, The Light and the Glory, page 378. You know, Thanksgiving is just less than 2 weeks away. And we've kind of been talking about that a little bit this month here from this ministry. But let me give you a quick summary here, a history lesson, if you will. And this is in Boston. And it says, As the Americans poured into Boston and the citizens cheered their welcome, they discovered to their shock something that confirmed a point their ministers had been emphasizing all along. The battle that they were fighting was basically a spiritual one. The British had wantonly and calculatedly desecrated Old South Church in retaliation for the times it had hosted meetings defying the king. Gentleman Johnny Burgoyne had turned it into a riding academy for the cavalry of his regiment. And this is a quote. The pulpit and all the pews were taken away and burned for fuel, and many hundred loads of dirt and gravel were carted in and spread upon the floor. This is Old South Church. The south door was closed, and a bar was fixed over which the cavalry were taught to leap their horses at full speed. A grog shop was erected in the gallery. Because it's war, and that's what you do in war. Nor was this an isolated incident. Throughout the northern colonies, dissident, for example, non-Anglican, especially Congregational and Presbyterian churches, were systematically abused in a spontaneous manifestation of anti-Christian feeling. For example, the Presbyterian Church at Newtown, Long Island, had its steeple sawed off, and the building was used as a prison and guardhouse. Later, it was torn down completely, and its boards were used for the construction of soldiers' huts. In New Jersey, the church at Princeton was stripped of its pews and gallery for fuel, and the churches at Elizabeth and Mount Holly were burned. In New York City, the Presbyterian churches were made into prisons or were used by British officers for stabling their horses. All told, more than 50 churches throughout the country were totally destroyed, and dozens of others were damaged or otherwise misused. There could be little doubt that the struggle against Britain was fundamentally a spiritual one. And so we're seeing the same thing. The struggle to bring Islam in has nothing to do with tolerance. It's a spiritual battle. of darkness against light, of good against evil. It absolutely is. How many times does Christ say in the New Testament that you don't go to the Father except through the Son? Allah is not God. Allah is Allah. Allah is a bag of bones in the ground somewhere. That's all Allah is. It is not God the Father. It is not the creator of the universe. It is not the Father of Jesus Christ. And it is a spiritual battle.
Try to have a Christian service in a mosque and see what happens. Not that you want to, but if you can, anoint it.
Well, you can't. And the Muslims,
you can anoint it.
The Muslims are,
believe me.
Yeah, the Muslims are killing Christians all over the world, at least killing those that claim Christ. Now, to what degree they're Christians? Well, how about this? Those that have heard the gospel, you know, maybe they heard it on a shortwave broadcast. Maybe they got a tract given to them. Maybe they had someone obeying the word here. Let's see. I'm right here at it. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. And there's several footnotes there. This is the end of Matthew 28. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Now, we understand that this book is written to the remnant. It's written to his people, the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people. But, you know, we've talked here before that we know that many of those have taken this gospel to all peoples, red and yellow, black and white, and that some of them have accepted the gospel message. And some of those that have accepted the gospel message are getting killed by Muslims overseas. Some of them are getting killed in Oklahoma by Muslims.
Yep.
Now, Muslims aren't the only enemy of Christianity, but they certainly are a current one that is active and in your face, in our face.
Yeah, and there's another part of that. I don't know where you're at. Are you in Mark 16?
I was in Matthew 28, but I can go over to Mark 16.
No, that's all right. But before that...
No, I like Mark 16.
When Jesus is telling the 12, before Judas did what he did, and when he's telling the 70, he makes it quite clear, as you're doing this, if they don't accept it, if they don't listen, if they don't heed to it, then knock the dust off your feet and move on. Don't coexist. Don't set up camp and put up with whatever they are, whoever they are praying to.
Right.
But move on. I mean, that's the job of a Christian. Yes, spread the word. Take it everywhere you can. And when they don't hear it, when they won't listen, just move on. There's another place to go.
Don't bring them back to your church and take the pews out of your church so they can come put their prayer rugs down and pray to some false god.
1 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial? Of what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said.
Amen.
And so by their very actions, like Rick Warren, if he is embracing these false gods and false religions, well, then he's not of the temple of God. He's not doing the will of the Father. He's not going to the God the Father through the Son. He's disobeying the Word. It's as simple as that. That's not an interpretation of Scripture. That's not just my opinion.
Look at the first Jesuit Pope. What's he done? First thing he did was call all the other religions to the Vatican and tell them that they all worship the same God. Duh.
It's not how it works. And they're okay with Jesus as a God among other gods. They're just not okay with Jesus being the preeminent, only way, and exclusive God. When you start going that direction, well, then that, you know, you're being, what's the word?
Just another prophet is what they say.
Yeah, you're being exclusive. You're not including everyone else, and that's not right, you know, in this day and age.
Yeah, and that trickles down, because that's the same philosophy that your so-called Christians have when you say you have to be baptized to be saved. They have that same philosophy. All of a sudden, you make the road narrow to the kingdom.
Like the word says.
Like the word says. If you make it, if you make it narrow, all of a sudden, wait a minute. There's many ways to the Father. You know, you're not going to tell me how to. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? You're no different than what Lance was just talking about. These people that, you know, wanted to say Christ was not the God, but just a God. They don't want to be narrowed down to where there's only one way to the Father. They don't want that. You know, they want to be a thief and a robber that goes up the side window or the back window or whatever, because they're going to have to die to themselves, or at least die to their family that didn't do it that way, and they don't want to think about it. They don't want to, you know. And it's like, I don't care about how my grandfather's dead and gone. He is. I can't help him.
Right.
Hopefully, and God will have mercy on whom God will have mercy, and he's one of those who have mercy on. But I can only talk to the living. And the Word talks to the Word is living, and it talks to the living. And so all you can do is go forward, but some people don't want to go forward. They just want to go back. And so that keeps them from the narrow way, because, you know, Uncle Billy Bob, that, you know, used to bring him Christmas presents every year, well, he didn't tell me I had to be baptized, and I know for a fact he wasn't baptized. What are you saying? He's going down. They go through all this process in their mind. And so they go, nope, I can't believe in the narrow way. I have to broaden it. You know, and some broaden it a lot, and some broaden it just a little. But they're still doing the same thing. And that's, they're not believing the Word of God.
Or obeying.
Or obeying, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, along those lines right here. A mother in Union County, North Carolina, contacted the school, Porter Ridge High School, as well as the media, about an Islamic worksheet that was sent out. Now read this. Question 2, and this is fill in the blank, only one right answer. Peaceful Islam versus radical fundamental Islam. Islam at heart is the only answer they would accept, a peaceful religion. Most Muslims, blank, faith is stronger than the average Christian. Beginning in the 70s and the 80s, Islam emerged as a potential political force associated with both blank and blank, refrain and resolution. Radical Islam fundamentals are opposed to Western civilization. These fundamentals represent the answer blank, small percentage of the population of Islam. Question F. Jihad and holy war waged on behalf of Islam as a religious duty of a person struggling in devotion to Islam, especially involving spiritual discipline. Oh, really?
Gotta love Common Core.
Yeah.
See, it's just lies. You tell that to the family in Oklahoma who had the Islamic man kill the wife, mother, grandmother on a jihad. See, you don't hear that. That's what it is. But, you know, but that's what your children in public school are taught. That's what they are. Let's go to the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi. I don't think we have to worry. I think the Freedom From Religion people will take care of them.
Yeah, right.
I'm saying that very facetiously.
Right. I know that.
You don't notice the unseen third party hanging around looking at what they're doing.
Freedom always. Christianity is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see their buddies hanging around in Ferguson, Missouri as well.
Yeah, right.
Causing the same discord, stirring up the pot.
See, the enemies know that Christianity is the only thing that can tear them down, and that's why they're so afraid of it, and that's why they do everything they can to try to destroy it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And if they can remove God and the Spirit of the Lord, there is no liberty, and they know it.
I've been wanting to call about something, and it's the Solutions Program, which was played 8 days ago, and it was repeated last night. It was about the North Carolina magistrates. And when I first heard it the Friday before then, I pretty much disagreed with most of it. You know, now, you know, all of you and all of those men who put that Solutions Program together, each of you knows more about the Bible and God's Word and God's will than I do, and that's why I listen. You've been Christians longer than I have, in just about each and every case. And, but I just disagreed with pretty much everything they had to say. And I guess, you know, God wanted me to chew on it for a while, and I've changed my position somewhat. He confounded the phone lines, so the switching was off, and I couldn't call in. And I couldn't call in the next... I tried to call in the next day, last Saturday, and the sun got in Richard's eyes and obscured the phone, and I wasn't able to talk, so I was able to think about it a little bit longer. But, you know, some of the points it was Rich who talked about the federal judge's decision. You know, when he said that, you know, in the 6th District, and when he said that, I thought, yeah, watch, that's going to get overturned by the Supreme Court, guaranteed. But I sort of repented of that idea, because I think it was the next day that, I think it was you, John, who said, you know, well, let's pray about this. I mean, you know, there is a chance. I mean, you should never sort of give up hope on these things. And I liked Jason's prayer. It was more or less putting them on notice. That's very effective.
Yep.
I was thinking about, you know, that they were talking about not biblical judges. They're talking about, they were talking about, you know, there was supposed to be righteous judges, you know, I think they were using that facetiously. But they were comparing them to these, you know, reading a lot of scripture from the book of Judges, you know. And my impression of these people is these are not those sort of judges. These are not the judges that you see in the Bible before 1 Samuel. These are the judges. These are something called judges that come about after God has given us a king, basically. You know, they're the man's men. They're not God's men. And you know,
I think there's some in there that still fear God.
Oh yeah. I mean, but they're not part of that system. They're not those sorts of judges. And the reason for not, you know, I've changed my mind about the reason I no longer hold them in high regard as I did about a week ago, and I have a different reason, and that's just basically they're just a bunch of politicians, and I don't expect much. You know, I would question whether most of the judges are refusing to do this. I don't believe that's going to happen. I think they're all going to quietly, you know, marry Fred and Pete or whatever, and Joe and John. What I still believe is, you know, we can give you a little background of these judges.
Well, they're appointed. Bill, if they want to keep their job, they will go along with what the administration says. You know,
you
we talked about it here a few weeks ago, the state of Wyoming, when the Supreme Court originally decided not to hear the appeals regarding the same-sex marriages. All the ungodly just rejoiced. You know, oh, this is going to bring all the states in. Well, the governor and the attorney general of Wyoming told all the county clerks, you just don't do anything right now. Just... the people of Wyoming have voted no to this, and we're going to stand on that. And that worked for about a week. But if the governor and the attorney general, you know, still want to keep their job, and I don't mean by the people, but if they still want to play with the administration, they still want to play with the big boys and be in the big boy loop, then the way they look at it, you know, about a week later, well, they just have to go along. Because that's the way the judges are going. That's the way the government's going. That's the way the, you know, it's the time of the tares. The harvest draws near. Man, it draws so near because the tares, they are standing up and they are, you know, if they're not the ones committing the sin, they're heartily approving of it.
A democracy will never end up with the judges we want.
Never.
You know.
You don't,
a dictatorship will, if the dictator is the king of Israel, Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to happen. And that you know, that's where I see, that's why we should always keep praying like it, with hope and praying with warning. You know, because it's going to happen. It's prophesied. Just like we're in Babylon right now, it's prophesied. So when you see it, when you see a glimpse of light, or what at least you think is light, it, you know, it's like, good. You know what I mean? And we should always pray for that hope. But the democracy ain't going to end up with it. It's going to be King Jesus that ends up with it, and there's going to be righteous judges in this land again. And we're just, you know, sometimes I pray differently. Sometimes I pray with more hope for the stupid system we're in, which I shouldn't. But sometimes I do. Sometimes I get a little hope for whatever reason. But then I slap myself across the head and say, listen, until we get down on our knees and say, Lord King, Jesus Christ, you know, put us in order, put our judges over us, put, you know, that's when it's going to happen, because we live in a time that's different than ever right. been in this right. in the entire creation.
And we have those judges over us because we haven't done that.
Yeah.
Because we've turned every man to his own way, every man thinking what he does is right, and ignoring God, breaking the commandments, all 10 of them, ignoring God and ignoring our neighbor. And so God
we
says, you're going to be that
watchman.
Way?
We fell asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel, and in 2 Chronicles 7:14, or bust. That's yep. just the way yep. I see it.
You know, I think of the story in Acts where, you know, Judas is gone, and God wants them to replace his spot, you know. And so they take these, however many there was, let's say there was 120 of them that are good men, good godly men as far as they could all, and they did at least narrow it down to two, you know. And then God said, okay, now you're going to cast lots. And I'm going to pick the one, you know, I'm going to pick, and he probably had his hand in the whole thing, but he's like, I don't want it to be upon you guys to pick. So we're going to cast lots, and this is going to be the guy it is, and boom, there it was. I mean, God's going to do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be done. But we still have our roles, and we still have things to do. I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying that it's not going to be done with this democracy thing that we've lived with our whole life. Mob rules, people in general don't know what they need, or they don't want what they need.
No, they want what they want.
Yeah.
What's a good quote from our friend down at the church? Avoid pain, seek pleasure. You know, that's what our people want. That's what these judges want. And anyway, so yeah.
But if you look at the ruling of that 10th. What is it? The 10th Appeals Court. They just ruled to uphold the law of four states, Michigan and Ohio, and I can't remember the other two. But that's a little bit of hope there too, and that's when we really do need to put those that can change their mind, those that can turn
Absolutely.
Back to God
yeah.
on the Supreme Court on notice that, look, you have a chance to redeem yourself, to repent and turn from your wicked ways. This is your second chance. This may be your last chance. I don't know. That's not our job to judge. But it's critical that we do that.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. And when we see it, it may be, you know, that them doing that may be able to, whether it's the last holdout or whatever, you know, that may awaken somebody else to just how, you know, when that gets overturned, or if it does, or if it causes an overturning the other way.
I mean, Daniel knew right. he was going to be in 70 years captivity, but that never stopped him from praying, you know?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think probably the most important thing that we might have missed here is, you know, the background of these guys. I mean, they try traffic cases. They can issue arrest warrants. They can do all sorts of stuff. I mean, if you get caught in that little speed trap, you know, where the 30-mile-an-hour sign is hidden behind a tree, I mean, these magistrates, they'll be happy to take your money. Child and Family Services, they ruin some of those cases. The point is, they're just, you know, they're the man's men, okay? I mean, basically,
for the most part, yep.
No other way to put it. Mm-hmm. And I think, that if any of us had someone we cared about, or even someone who looked like our people, and they got out of the military, the police force, or anything else, you know, we'd be singing praises. And they're the man's men, and they, what did they do? They quit. They did come out of her. And what have we been praying about? No end. And, you know, I mean, and I think maybe we're in danger of looking a gift horse in the mouth. Maybe the major thing here is thanks to the Lord for answered prayer. You know, maybe we should, maybe it wouldn't be too far out of line to give thanks in this case and rejoice over it.
You know, and the way things are right now, Bill, I think the safest way to pray is that the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think that's the safest way to pray, because absolutely this could be hastening the day of the Lord, you know, hastening God's wrath and the final judgment. But I don't know, there's places in the Bible too that we're not supposed to really heed the last days and the final judgment, and there's warnings too. And ask yourself this: if Jesus came tomorrow, are you ready? Have you got to the place in your life where you want to be when it comes to that judgment? I would say I'm not. I'm working towards it.
Well, at the very least, we have loved ones that aren't, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Not even as close.
I mean, yeah,
as
we've been baptized.
Right.
Absolutely, you're right.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, we want to strive for that first resurrection, right? We don't want to be left to the second resurrection. We want to strive for that first resurrection. And that requires a certain amount of work. And that work is the work that we're doing. But we're not done. We're not even close to done.
Oh, yeah. And certainly that's foremost in all of our minds and maybe our biggest challenge in life. But yeah. But it's this. It still remains that we have prayed for something, and we've received an answer to this prayer. I mean, they were the man's men, and they did come out of her. And or one woman, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean lift up those four judges?
They appear to be, for the most part, our people. And you know, and I think, you know, we don't want to be in danger of, you know, being the little snot sitting under the Xmas tree on December 25th and saying, I asked for a red truck and you gave me a blue truck, you know. I mean,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
If we were
yeah.
grateful for the blue truck, he'd get fewer lumps of coal and more toy trucks.
Yeah.
But those are just some of my thoughts on it, and I think, as I recall, Doug said that they were just their thoughts, and they didn't claim to have all truth. But I mean, I just think we were missing a praise report there, if nothing else.
You mean regarding
Good
the
point.
Three judges who upheld those four states? Is that what you're talking about, Bill?
No, I'm talking about, yeah, oh, that, certainly. I'm talking about
yeah. them getting out of the system.
The half dozen yeah. judges that got out of the system. I mean, you know, that's what we asked for. Maybe God, you know, maybe that's what God decided we were going
to
get right now.
It's definitely something to look at.
It's definitely an answer to our prayer.
Bill, I mean, I think it's definitely something. I have a friend back in Oregon that we went to grade school together from first grade on, and he's a state policeman. And he's about as good of a state cop as you could ever meet. But he still gets indoctrinated with their system. You know, so he can only open up to God so much because he's been programmed so much. So I can see what you mean. Maybe God wants him in that position. But then again, maybe he would be a better Christian if he could get out of it. So I see the thought process here, you know. What is the best?
Well, we did lift them up. We lifted those six judges up in prayer. So,
yep.
Yeah,
I think
I think there was a definite answer to prayer there. And you also have to realize that your friend, who's the cop, it's really difficult for him to get out of that.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's a major accomplishment. For whatever reason these judges did this, I mean, it wasn't easy. I don't think.
No. And there's consequences, yeah. And, you know, you can't be politically correct and biblically correct. It's impossible. And when you tell people that, there's the gears start turning in their head. You know, they don't even realize it until you bring that to their attention. You know what? Yeah, you're right. You can't be politically correct and biblically
not
correct.
Not until the kingdom is set in. You know, I mean, that's where they go. That's where they harmonize.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
But praise the Lord, there's those that are standing against the establishment, and one way or the other, either they fight it or they get it, remove themselves from it. So.
Yeah. Bill, thanks for the call. Thanks for the comments. Very, very good ones this morning.
Bye.
Thank you.
Did you guys see Fort Myers High School football player Sam Turner reach the end zone Friday night with his first touchdown of his high school career? He took a few seconds to bow down and thank the Lord and put his finger up in the air and received a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct.
Mm-hmm. Now, you got to clarify what finger it was he put up in the air.
It was the one
index.
That was
thumb. It was his,
index finger. Yep.
Pointing, saying, thank you, Lord. You know?
Yep.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't flipping off the Lord, that's for
no,
sure.
No, you're right. Unsportsmanlike conduct. Now, if he'd have done a little juke dance, woohoo, boogie boogie, shake his butt a little bit and slam the ball, yeah, that's all right.
Exactly.
Well, you know, when,
but look at what they're doing to even our youth. Look at what they're doing to even the youth.
Yep. Yeah.
When you're penalized for doing something, giving God glory, or doing anything for God, you can count that as, you know, being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And when that happens, well, then you should rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. So.
Yep, and he is. He's rejoicing, and his whole team's rejoicing with him, and
really
they just laugh at the ref.
Yeah,
it's a good witness.
It is.
Yep.
It is. You make your choices. There in Matthew, it says, by your, let me get the quote here. I never can get it. Remember it just right. By your words, you're justified, and by your words, you're condemned. You know?
Yep.
And
of course, this is a clean-cut white boy.
Right.
Well, the good news about that is God doesn't care if he got a 15-yard penalty on his team. If he's really behind him, then, you know, they could throw him in jail, right? He can unlock the doors, right? I mean,
he
so
has before.
What's a 15-yard penalty on the kickoff? Big deal. So you're kicking from the 25 instead of the 50 or 40 or whatever. I mean,
yeah,
nothing. They might fumble the kickoff anyway. Yeah. You might get it right back. So just keep praising the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, it's Matthew 12:37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And, you know, I think you could put in there as well, by your actions would apply as well. Mm-hmm. You know, by your deeds or the lack of your deeds and your words as well. Well, guys, the hour's almost over. We thank you, the Remnant, for joining us this morning. And got a couple more minutes here before we're going to have to start wrapping up. But
snowing up there?
Snowing. Yeah, just kind of blowing sideways. Got a good little dusting on the ground. And, the weather, who knows?
Down here.
Is it? Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, we're under a winter storm warning, so you just never know. If DOT decides to close the road, then if you join us at church tomorrow, you'll see John bringing the communion message. Or Jason. Well, I don't know. If he brings it, you're going to have to run the cameras. Because Kyle and I are in Laramie, and the church is in LaPorte, and there's about a 9,000-foot pass that you got to get over.
I thought you were rebels. You guys won't go around a closed road? Come on now.
Yeah, well.
I've done it.
Yeah.
When I was dating my wife.
Yeah, yeah. I've done it. It just depends on the situation, I guess. So,
yeah.
You know. Anymore they'll have the highway patrol and the sheriff's deputies out there.
Yeah.
They let you know that, and again, it's not something you fear. It's just something you're aware of. And I'm even signed up. I even went and signed up with the DOT to get permission that if they close the road, they send me a little note and, you know, depending on the severity of it, but I'm on the list where I can. Go around.
Whoa.
Without getting the ticket, you know,
because
we run. I don't know about
with a carload.
I don't know about a carload of kids or children, but you know, because we run cattle up there right at the state line sometimes.
you know.
You heard it, Remnant. So, he can make it if he wants.
That's right. So, you know, but it just depends. It's like when that hurricane comes in, you know. We have left, you know, the house and gone to family's house when hurricanes are coming.
Yep.
Know, so, yeah, there's so you just got to work with the weather for sure. But we do want
like one thing.
Sure, go ahead.
That Bill said for sure was none of us have all truth, no. And amen to that.
Yeah,
we do our best to present the truth that we do find and that's given to us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, the thought occurs to me what Bill talked about these judges. Guess who are going to be the judges in the kingdom? Think about that. Who are going to be the judges in the kingdom? You know? So if you want to be a judge in the kingdom, and that's a pretty good position.
You need a bail.
That's a pretty good position in the kingdom to be a judge. You know, there's different, and we're running out of time here, but there's different positions in the kingdom. There's greatest, there's least, and it seems like there's a lot of places in between there. But to, you know, the word tells us that we're to judge angels. We need to be getting ready for that now.
The saints are to judge the world, and we need to be doing that right.
Right.
This instant.
Right.
We live like a kingdom citizen. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We do. We do. And the only way you can do it, you can't do it with your mind, and you can't do it with your heart, but you can do it with the word.
Absolutely.
There's a reason God said, at least many of you become teachers, as you will incur stricter judgment.
It is.
And
absolutely.
Better to have a millstone around your neck than to cause one of my little ones to stumble. Now, those are pretty strict warnings to people who are actually in positions of authority.
Very much. Very much. For those that seek them.
That's why you should do what Richard said. Let the word do it.
Let the word judge
it.
Jesus Christ himself said, I didn't come to judge, but the word judges you. Now, he is the word,
amen.
But, you know, so you can think on that one, chew on that one a little bit. Guys, we're running out of time. We want to invite you to church tomorrow, scriptures4america.org. You can click on the live video streaming at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And somebody will be there having church, hopefully all of us. But we invite you there. We'll have a review of the news. You'll get to see John and have a welcome from him and communion, some good songs. And I guarantee you, you'll get a Holy Spirit-inspired message that's full of biblical truth. And so we invite you to come there. It's
amen.
An opportunity to not forsake the assembly, an opportunity to come and repent and partake of communion. And it's a very important thing. So we thank you for joining us. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Snake hide!
Move it, move it, move it.
are disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.